Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Ash Bros Podcast. Super excited to be with you guys here today. I'm Todd. I got my brother Peter here, of course. And man, this is going to be an exciting one, continuing here with our mini-series, predicting every single division in this upcoming 2025 season. Today, we got doing the AFC South division, so should be pretty interesting. Peter, how are you doing today, though?
Doing well, man. Doing great. I'm excited to get this whole thing underway. Another division, man. Another day, another division. We're getting so much closer to the start of the regular season. Obviously, our AFC North predictions are kind of interesting now with Aaron Rodgers signing with the Packers. Signing with the Steelers. But can you imagine signing with the Packers? Oh, my gosh. But that's a whole thing, I guess. I kind of have my prediction regardless of whether he goes there or not. But I'm excited for this one, man. I have a couple things in here that might surprise you today.
Yeah, I think I had the Steelers going, what, like 10-7, I think, they were 10-7 or 9-8, and I felt like the same, even though they got Rodgers, so I kind of agree with you there. But yeah, this one should be pretty fun. Obviously, the Houston Texans have won the division lasted two straight years in a row. So with that being said, Peter, who do you have in last place in this division for the season?
Man, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. I got them at a 5-12 record. And, I mean, we can go through a lot of things with this team. For me, one of the key things is Daniel Jones is going to be the starter at quarterback, most likely. Anthony Richardson could be a starter as well. I still would kind of be on the fence about this team. For some reason, Daniel Jones just keeps getting this hype every year. We always go, Daniel Jones looks amazing in OTAs, and he looks sharp. And then we see the regular season come, and he does what he does. I don't know. Obviously, the Giants didn't have an ideal situation. But once again, he's not an ideal, like, not in a ideal situation, again, with Indianapolis Colts, right? The Colts, again, you would like to think trench play is a big part for them, both on the offensive and defensive side. Well, that staple's kind of big time, kind of drawed off now with the losses they had, obviously losing Will Fries and Ryan Kelly. And losing those two guys, it's like now you got to kind of work with what you have, still with a running game being your kind of primary focus. Daniel Jones is usually a pretty good play-action quarterback. We saw his best success come in play-action, so it could help you have a good run game. But with two key offensive linemen gone, now you got to work against, I guess, kind of what you like to do if the run game's not going. And in the division that's kind of up in the open, but at the same time, with a lot of defenses that kind of like prey around or have guys who are in the middle that are tough, it's going to be hard for them to kind of do work. And I'm not a Daniel Jones guy, so I don't know. Colts defense isn't great either. There's not a lot to like about this team. So if you're a Colts fan, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling it, man. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point with Daniel Jones. Obviously, 6th overall pick in the 2019 draft. Just career hasn't really panned out yet. I don't know. I actually kind of like some of the pieces they have on defense. I think Latu is one of the best, honestly, young edge rushers in the league. Kwity Paye, I mean, He's decent. You know, he's not bad. DeForest Buckner is still a monster there. Defensive tackle. Along with Grover Stewart, who's long been one of the best run defenders there, too. Linebacking corps, Zaire Franklin. I think he's a pretty solid linebacker as well. And then the secondary, they really improved it, I think, by getting Tre'Davious Ward, who I think just 2 seasons ago in 2023 had an all-pro year with the 49ers. And then you look at even safety, getting Cameron Bynum, who was awesome with Minnesota last year. Obviously, we'll see how he looks now. Obviously, not having Brian Flores as his defensive coordinator, but they do have Lou Amunuro, who's obviously the Bengals DC for a while. And I think he can, you know, kind of, you know, as a veteran coach, he can kind of coach them up to at least respectability. So I like the defense. I just don't really like the offense, mainly, like you said, with Daniel Jones and just the fact that they don't have a good offensive line as well. I have them going 4-13, and I have the Colts also finishing last place in this division. I mean, it might seem a little low, but I just feel like this team, like you said, this division, I think this division honestly has some more talent than I think people kind of give credit for, especially at the top with like the Texans and, you know, and whatnot. But yeah, I feel like the Colts are going to struggle this year, and I think they'll be in contention for a top 5 pick in next year's draft. So who knows? Maybe they can get Arch Manning and get a new Manning quarterback in there after having Peyton for all those years.
That's pretty good. I was gonna say you had me going there for a second. And you started saying, "Oh man, I kind of like their defense." And then this is all the state are 4-13 next year.
Here's the good news, and then there's the bad news. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, you're right about the Cam Bynum point. That's a great point. Having him there is huge, and he was a turnover machine last year. But I also we forgot to mention this as well. Yeah, obviously not having Brian Flores and having a stacked defense around you, we're going to really see what he's about now as a safety, right? Like, it's that position, as good as it is, it's easy to look really good, and it's easy to look really bad at the same time, depending on what you have around you. So it's going to be a lot of heavyweight. It's going to be a heavyweight on the shoulders with that defense, assuming that he has to come right away and kind of shore everything up. For me, I guess moving on to, I guess, my third best team in the AFC South, it's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got them at a 6-11 record. Now, see, this might surprise a lot of people because, again, 1 and 2 are still open. People don't know what I'm going to go with, or 1 and 2. But I have Jacksonville below both Tennessee and Houston. And it might surprise some people. Again, I think offensively they could be dynamite. Liam Cohen being there, I know people made fun of him with the Duval thing and stuff like that. But I think he's a really smart offensive coordinator. I think he knows what he's doing, especially in the run game. He's very good at getting his running backs in the best position possible. I could see Etienne having a really big bounce back here if he's healthy. I could also see Tank Bigsby doing well. That Bajol Tootin kid out of Virginia Tech looks nice. He's shifty. Fumbling issues is his worries. He fumbles a lot. But he's probably the most explosive out of all three of those guys. They can have a decent run game. Who knows? Trevor can find his touch again. They can put up some points. But, man, that defense. They didn't really address it that much to me, man. Like, I know they got Travis Hunter, but he's got to commit to both ends, right? We're assuming he's going to be a full-time two-way player. People keep saying he's going to be more of a corner, more of a receiver. We don't know what he's going to be yet because all I'm hearing is, oh, he's playing more with the receivers or he's doing more with the corners. It's like, okay, let's assume he just does both. That takes away, either way, that takes away some of his corner ability. So he's gone half the time. It's Tyson Campbell, right? And then you're kind of just hoping that everything else kind of works its way through. It's like, damn, Jordan Lewis, they signed him for a 3-year deal. He's all right. Like, he was on the Cowboys. He's okay, but he's not anything crazy. And I don't know. They weren't great. They didn't address the run defense that much. It was the 8th worst last season. And their pass defense was the absolute worst in the league. And again, if you're going to get a guy like Travis Hunter, with the worst pass defense in the NFL, we give up 4,600 passing yards. You'd like to think he'd play corner more. But they're like, oh, we're going to play him a receiver. It's like, okay, well, like, you didn't really address major needs. And now you're going to come into the division where a lot of teams around you kind of got much better, including my number 2 team that I'll get to in a bit. But we'll see, man. I don't know. I'm not really too big on them. I can see a big offensive season from them, but I also see them losing a couple of games because their defense just can't stop anything.
Interesting pick there with the Jaguars at number 3. I mean, could definitely see that. I mean, they had a top 5 pick, obviously, coming into this year's draft. They didn't have a good year last year. But for me, I actually have the Tennessee Titans finishing in 3rd place with a 6-11 record. I think I like Cam Ward. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's going to have a solid rookie year. I think he's going to have a lot of flashes where we're going to look at him and be like, wow, this guy he's going to be an all-pro, Pro Bowl quarterback one day. So I like Cam Ward. The receivers, you know, Tyler Lockett, Calvin Ridley, some good veterans for him there and whatnot. They have some younger guys as well there at the receiver position. Offensive line is a little shaky for me. I know they signed Dan Moore Jr. to that big contract to be their left tackle. He was decent in Pittsburgh, but I think they kind of overpaid for him. And I don't know. The rest of the offensive line, especially in that division, you're going to be at Jacksonville. They have Josh Allen, Trevon Walker on the edge. And I mentioned, you know, Indianapolis defensive line. Houston, don't even get me started with Houston's defensive line. So I feel like having a bad O-line, Cambridge rookie year, could be some problems. Defensively, they have some talent. Don't get me wrong. Especially on the defensive line, and let's see if L'Jarius Sneed can be healthy, because when he's healthy, he's one of the probably top 5, at least top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL. But I just think a rookie quarterback, you know, and whatnot, I think they'll kind of struggle. But at the end of the day, I think for Tennessee, this season, it's all about Cam Ward. If he can prove to be, and you know, he looks like a good quarterback, that's all the Titans need, I think, in 2025.
Yeah, and hey, man, I completely get it. I completely get it with the Titans. And there's a lot not to like. There's a lot to like at the same time with Cam Ward and kind of the things that they have going on there and the buzz that's going on with Brian Callahan. But, for me, the Titans, I guess that leaves me number 2 pick. I got the Titans at number 2 in the division. I got them at 8-9 next year. I see them making a significant jump from that 3-14 finish. Last year, again, you want to talk about offensive line play. I get it. Not the greatest offensive line. But, again, I think getting those guys is a significant jump, right? Kevin Zeitler, getting him was massive. Although he's old, I still think he's going to be a key contributor right away. Dan Moore's not great, but he's something better than whatever the heck they had last year. Because last year was an absolute disaster. I think they were 26th in, like, pass rush win rate or something like that. They were like horrible. It was bad in pressure rate, but they were, that's a significant move there to bolster that. Peter Skoronski, you're going to hope he's, again, kind of healthy and he's still going, because if he is, that gives you another something, product there. And I don't know, now you kind of work with that. I like Cam Ward behind a team like that because there's a lot to like there. I feel like I can see him humming the ball real fast. I like his game. I like his confidence and swagger. And then they also made some other kind of low-key moves. They got Xavier Woods. He played for the Panthers last year. Wasn't great, but he wasn't bad either. It was kind of like up and down with him. But he's a nice safety depth guy and box guy, and their run defense wasn't great, so that's good to have. He can play both down and up. Lorenzo Carter had no sacks last year, but he basically played the whole year concussed for the Falcons. So everyone's like, what the hell has he been? He's basically concussed all year. He's healthy. That could be something great. And I just really think, man, like, something crazy about the Titans is they had the number one pass defense last year, which is insane to me. Number one. And people would point, oh, maybe they got blown out so many times they didn't need a pass defense, or maybe it's just that bad. No, man. Like they were in close games last year, quite a couple, to be honest, in one-score games. But they just, their offense was so bad, they just came back and going on the field. And the run defense wasn't great. It was, like, seventh worst in the NFL, which is surprising because they had Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. So, I mean, you added Sebastian Joseph Day. That's another run-stuffing guy. You're right. You get Cody Barton, solid linebacker. Draymond Jones, pass rusher, but kind of can play the run decently. If you get a couple of these guys to kind of play a decent role, I don't see why they can't win a couple more games than they did last year. The offense, I think, is going to be significantly better with Cam Ward there. And I think they just have a lot more to work with this time around with a quarterback like that. I can see them turning some heads, getting a couple of shock value wins, and end up being a team that's just under 500. So again, I don't see them making the playoffs, but I see them being the team that's right there, right behind, I guess, the Houston Texans in terms of being that team that comes up.
Interesting selection there. For sure, the tight. I mean, I don't think it's like a, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that they can finish second in division. Like, honestly, I feel like outside of the Texans, who, you know, we both have first in the division, I feel like, you know, you can kind of argue between, like, who's going to finish, you know, below them in the division. And, you know, I do like Tennessee. I think even they had a game against the Vikings last year where, like, they did a decent job against Sam Darnold, who obviously was fantastic for Minnesota last year. And they held in that game. It was one of those close games that you were mentioning. And they battled in that one. So I think you make a good point with Tennessee. And I can easily see them finishing over Jacksonville. I do have Jacksonville finishing second, though, with one more win, just 7-10 record. Honestly, for Jacksonville, it's really all about Trevor Lawrence, him and Liam Cohen. Can Liam Cohen, the new head coach, Duval, can he get the, I had to do it. Can he get Trevor Lawrence, you know, back to form? Cause that's the biggest thing, right? You look at Trevor Lawrence the last couple of years, he's turned over the ball a lot. I think he's turned over the ball, I think 29 total times over the last two seasons. That includes interceptions and fumbles. He's still a very talented quarterback, though, you know, and he does have a playoff win, you know, and there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that are, you know, kind of near the same level or whatnot that don't have a playoff win yet. So I think considering that, I think, you know, he's still a guy that can pan out in the league. Brian Thomas Jr., that guy is amazing. One of the best receivers in the league already. I think him and Travis Hunter, when they're both on the field on offense, will give defenses a lot of trouble. I do agree, though, their defense is nasty and not in a good way. So that might hurt them. I think that's going to hurt them big time, actually. I mean, Josh Allen, the edge rusher, Josh Allen, obviously not the Bills MVP quarterback. He's pretty good. And I like Trevon Walker as well. Eric Armstead, decent veteran, but ultimately 7-10. And I think next year, 2026, maybe could be the year where Jacksonville finds their way back into the playoffs, potentially.
I like that, man. Yeah, Brian Thomas is a big mention. I don't know why I didn't even mention him, to be honest. He's my favorite. I told you already. You know how I feel about Brian Thomas. I think he can be easily the best receiver in the league next year. And this is, I know it sounds crazy. Again, I think he can flat out be the best. I'm talking about better than Jamar Chase, better than Jefferson. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he's the best next year. He's that good. That dynamic with the ball, I think people, like, really give him a look of how good he was. This is last year with, you're saying, with Mac Jones most of the year. Trevor Lawrence didn't look good half the time with him on the field. There were games where he got iced out by Trevor. Like, it just didn't make any sense. They weren't getting him the ball. And he was still popping off, had a season that he did. Should have easily been an All-Pro. I don't think he'll ever be denied again of an All-Pro as long as he has a season like that. He's way too good to be getting disrespected. He's as good as it gets. And you have him there, obviously, with Trevor. And then, obviously, having Travis Hunter taking some attention off, too. It could be an absolutely dynamic offense. Again, like, Tootin, Etienne, get some of his juice back. You never know. I don't know. I'm just not that defense. Like you said, it gets really scary and bad once you get past Josh Allen, Trevon Walker, Tyson Campbell, and then part-time Travis Hunter. I don't know if you can have a good defense with just three guys, right? Maybe four guys. I guess three and a half. I'm going to say Travis Hunter's playing defense. So, yeah, it's just tough. But I do like them a lot. I do can easily see them finishing second. To be honest, they're probably the favorite to finish second in the division, and it makes sense. There's a lot to like over there with Liam Cohen taking over. But I guess going to the top of my list for this crazy AFC South division, it's no wonder, obviously, no surprise here. It's the Houston Texans. Got them an 11-6 record, right? As winners of back-to-back AFC South titles, they're favorites again to capture the crown again. But, like, again, the rest of the division has made some improvements. Their margin of error is a lot slimmer than last year. I feel like last year they coasted sometimes against teams, and I just don't think it's going to be possible to do it this time. You got to be careful. I think the Titans are more than capable of actually getting a win against them this time or stealing one. They kind of easily had one last year where they stole one. At Jacksonville, all these other teams could easily steal one from you when you play not too well. It's easier to lose these type of games, even despite probably losing against a couple of them last year. The big problem with Houston, again, it's always a question mark with them. Defense is good. We know what it's about. You had to teach your Gardner-Johnson, right? Obviously, really good safety, adds to their box play, right? Can do it all. But that offensive line, and I know you know who I'm going to go with this. It's just like, it wasn't good last year. It was one of the worst last year. They gave it the fourth most sacks in the NFL last season. Or I guess altogether, second most sacks. Travis sacked 52 times last year. Second behind only Caleb Williams, who was like 68. I don't know, something ridiculous, like almost an NFL record, right? And Caleb was just taking horrible ones, even with a bad offensive line play. But, I mean, they got to fix that line, and they didn't really fix it too much, man. Like, they got rid of Laremy Tunsil. You got rid of a few other guys on the line. They were like, okay, it's all right. But then you replaced him with Cam Robinson, who's like, another myth tackle. And then Lincoln Tomlinson, good run-blocking guard, but man, he's bad at pass block. Like, just not great at pass protection. And Stroud, again, his biggest problem last year. You can argue they could have a chance to beat the Chiefs, even with basically nothing. But again, it comes down to, can you get protection? And he simply couldn't get protected. And he's not a Lamar Jackson. He's not a Jaden Daniels where he can run right away. And he's just not athletic enough to kind of make those plays on his own consistently. So it's like, you're kind of a sitting duck back there. And when you don't have many weapons, it's tough. Now, they did address the weapon stuff, right? Getting Christian Kirk to that one-year deal. You drafted two to Iowa State guys, and Jaden Higgins and Jaden Noel, who are both dynamic. I think they're both electric guys. I think Noel's going to take over Kirk's spot. That's another conversation for another time. But it's like, how much do you have to really work with after that? Nick Chubb is a good signing too, but if you can't really protect those guys at all, does it matter? Like, it's just going to be another season of you going 10-plus wins, 11-plus wins, just to lose in maybe the division round, maybe the wild card round. It's like, I don't know. It seems like every year they're getting closer and closer to kind of putting D'Amico, I'm not thinking on a hot seat, but he's putting himself in a bad position when you keep having these seasons that are like, okay, we know what you're about. 2 years ago, you surprised everybody. Last year, you needed to improve the offensive line. You didn't. It went to crap. Again, this year, you need to improve the offensive line. You really didn't. And it could go to crap again. And it's like, you can't just win with just a flat-out base defense and a good quarterback. You need an offensive line. Trenches work on both ends. So we'll see what they do. I don't know. Again, I'm optimistic for them regular season-wise, but I think the margin of error is really tough, and with your offensive line arguably getting worse, I don't like it too much for them.
When I look at the Texans, you kind of like said it already, but like they have 10 wins now the last two seasons, 10-7, 2023, 10-7 last year. I have them going 10-7 again this year, and I think they'll win the division just like you. But I mean, it's kind of like, can they take that next step? And you look at them like talent-wise on paper, I think talent-wise, they can be right up there with Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. Like, I think they can be right up there. But like you said, trenches, they work on both ways. I think that was a very good thing that you said, because it's really true. The offensive line is just, I don't know. I guess talent-wise, even there, I mean, you lost Laremy Tunsil. Obviously, they traded him away. So, you know, I know there was a lot of reports for the offensive line last year. You know, there were a lot of reports saying, there's a lot of bad chemistry within the offensive line. You know, they just didn't really like playing with each other or for each other, which obviously is not a good thing. So I guess they kind of traded in talent for, I don't know, good vibes, I guess you can say. Like, I don't know how else to really describe that. So we'll see if it works. Kind of a bold strategy, especially in the AFC and all those, you know, pass rushes that they're going to have to go up against. But I like CJ Stroud. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he'll be able to overcome some of those mistakes. And he's going into his third year, which is usually the year that the quarterbacks usually, you know, kind of take off. So I think he'll have a much better year than he did his last year, his second year. And I think combined with that defense, which I wouldn't be surprised if that defense is number one overall in the league this year. You know, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley, who might be the best cornerback in the league, or at least after Patrick Surtain. So yeah, I like the Texans, and I think they'll make the playoffs again. And from there, we'll see what happens and how far they can go.
Crazy stat about the Texans. PFF had them ranked as their 32nd. We're talking about bad offensive line play with the Titans and the Jaguars and even the Colts. The Texans were the worst rated offensive line last year. And you're telling me there's a chance they might have gotten worse? That's what I'm trying to say. Even with the Titans, like, their line could be better. In my opinion, it's probably better than the Texans. Like, this is a problem. I don't care how good your quarterback is. It's like, eventually, it's not going to help, right? Like, and people were pointing to CJ Stroud holding the ball for a little too long, 3 seconds or whatever. It's like, it's just, what are you going to do? Because even the run game struggled last year, right? I think they were 31st in running back yards per rush. And then you have Joe Mixon there. If Nick Chubb is there, and if Nick Chubb, you got to assume he's the same player. If he's not even half the same player he used to be, what are you going to do even running the ball? It's like you said, the good vibe stuff. It's definitely a bold strategy in that division where you have, I mean, every single defense has a pass rusher or has guys that can get after you. And then the entire conference, and yeah, everyone in the NFL has pass rushers now, basically. So it's like, I don't know. You took those two receivers, it's like, yeah, I get it. You needed to help a receiver for sure. Especially with Diggs being gone and Tank Dell essentially not, you know, traumatic injury he had. But, man, I don't know. If you're going to take Higgins, maybe don't take Noel. Get another offensive lineman. I don't know. For me, it's not great. If we come back to the season, we come back at the end, we go, Houston, oh, it's the same thing. It's almost like insanity at this point with these guys. They keep doing the same thing. They're, as great as the defense is, it won't really matter if they keep losing these games in the wild card divisional round, because it's like you can't get over the hump because you can't block. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, everything's great except for your offensive line. It's like, I don't know. All the best to them. CJ Stroud, hopefully he's in good health. He's going to need to be as healthy as he possibly can be with offensive line like that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. You said, like, everything's good, you know, the Texans, except for the offensive line. It's like, you know, having a house. Everything's good except for the roof. So.
Yeah, the foundation. Exactly. Yeah, the foundation. The foundation that holds the house. Doesn't, yeah, exactly. Not even the foundation is not even like. Yeah, like you said, the roof, like the simplest thing you need is there. It's like, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. The Texans, you know, they're still looking for that first AFC Championship game appearance in franchise history. In the last 2 years, you know, losing in the divisional round to the Ravens and then to the Chiefs last year. And both of those losses were obviously mainly, you know, they couldn't score on offense. They had 24 points combined those two games. And, you know, CJ Stroud didn't have much time to throw the ball. So. We'll see, you know, see if the offensive line can improve. The decision not to really look at it too much has bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for you, you know, kind of written all over it. But we'll see what happens with the AFC South Division in the 2025 NFL season. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros Podcast. And we can't wait to continue this mini series here in the next episode.